Ball Spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Friday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We get into all kinds of things. The kids' table is being shut down. It was shut down last night. No more kiddie table in the NBA playoffs. It's time for the grown-ups to stake center stage. It's going to be great. We'll talk about that. Did you hear who was at Tulsa yesterday, Jared?
I may have heard.
Did you
some
see
rumblings.
Anything about that?
I may have heard something about it. I'm sure you did.
Is it a good sign for what's going on, the hustle and bustle of Tulsa, when they get the news chopper out to follow around a guy playing a practice round at Southern Hills?
This might sound mean, but what else was happening in Tulsa?
That's
on
my
a
point.
Thursday afternoon.
That's my point.
Get the chopper up.
Tulsa's got everything.
Get to the chopper.
Tulsa's such a great town. They've got it. Everything nailed down so much that they could go watch Tiger Woods hit some shots and show from above of him putting. So Southern Hills, talk about what that could mean, what it doesn't mean.
Don't really want to feed into the narrative that there's nothing to do in Oklahoma, as some would tell you on the West Coast, but it was a Thursday afternoon, and all of a sudden you hear Tiger's in town.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. The same thing happened when he went to Augusta, so let's not
That's true.
It just Tulsa.
That's true.
NFL draft, we'll recap round one, what happened, surprises, who did well, who maybe didn't, the hell are the Cowboys doing. Which player are you most surprised to still see on the board? We'll talk about all things draft. And then run down all kinds of baseball and softball in the high school ranks from regional tournaments yesterday. Also some district, some bi-district baseball that the local teams rolled right through into next week's regional. And, by the way, we know who will be here next Thursday for the regional here at Ackley Park after yesterday's games were completed. So we'll break all of that down right here off the top of the show. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the app. Paragon app has all things. With three radio stations, the Penny News. You've got Big Elk TV, Paragon TV, also the Skinny on Sports podcast, iTunes, and also KADS AM for that. If you miss the show entirely, you can go back and check us out there. Good morning, Jared.
How are you?
I am wonderful.
Were you glued to the TV with a big bucket of popcorn and,
well,
and some cold beverages?
Here's what happened. We had Wyatt had a baseball scrimmage last night till about 8 o'clock. And so I joined our compadres over at the Sayre Golf Course to watch. I think I got there for like pick 11. I think Chris Olave was the first person I got to see picked and then hung out there for the remainder of the first round.
And if memory serves me right, not a lot of drama happened up to that point anyways. It all seemed – when did that big trade come down?
That was it. I think New Orleans had traded up with Washington – to get Chris Olave right then. Before that, everything had gone to form.
The one that blew me away was the Hollywood trade.
Oh, and then all
of
a sudden,
I thought, whoa.
Then all of a sudden, Hollywood Brown and AJ Brown got traded, and it was like, whoa.
Right.
Yeah, I showed up right at the first trade. That's exactly right. It's good to see Drew has settled down a little bit. He was ready to disband the Cowboy franchise after drafting Tyler Smith. I have a funny note from last night that involves our man Dakota. It went from the what was the Wild World of Sports, the agony of defeat, something of victory and the agony of defeat.
I forgot.
Oh gosh, I can't remember. Somebody will text us. Anyhow, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
Okay.
I got to see that in like 3 seconds last night. Both things happened, and I'll tell you about it when we get into the draft. It was hilarious. I mean, I felt sorry for laughing as much as I did, but, man, it was funny.
It's okay to laugh. You're not laughing at anything horrible.
Laughing at the misery of one of your buddies.
Well, it's over us. It's over. I mean.
And who knows? It may not.
We take it probably a little bit too seriously sometimes, but come on. It's sports. It's meant to have fun. And
We had fun. There's no doubt about that.
Did anything fuel that laughter?
No, it would have been. You could be stone cold sober and you'd have laughed at what happened. I'm telling you right now, you could be stone cold sober and you'd have laughed at the way it went down. What happened?
That's funny.
That's called a tease, my friends. As I told everybody the other day when we couldn't see half the field, I am a professional broadcaster, so stick with me and you'll get all the things. Let's talk
she
about.
She did very good, by the way.
Thank you.
If you heard, because I know how much you were handcuffed in that situation with that slow pitch.
Yeah.
As far as rosters and
Rosters were fine. The main problem was the fact that they put the concession stand right behind home plate. That made it pretty tight, to say the least. And by the way, I don't know who would, but I'm not going to go pick up some grandma out of her chair and move her. Not going to happen.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Anyway, my point is you did good.
Thank you.
I was able to watch and get the information.
All right, let's talk. Speaking of information.
Along with that beautiful scoreboard. Go ahead.
Speaking of information, what happened yesterday? Let's start. It feels like I have a huge question mark in the slow pitch regionals. One in particular.
Okay.
Down at Fort Cobb.
Okay.
Okay, so I know Arapo Butler is out as they lost to Bingeroni 17-0, 3-2 to Cyril. So Arapo Butler is done. I know that Shattuck is out as they lost 16-6 to Navajo, 13-8 to Hydro Weekly. I know Navajo is in the state tournament. They obviously beat Shattuck 16-6, then they beat Hydro 14-10. Boom, Navajo's in. I also know that Hydro Weekly is in the state tournament. They lost to that Navajo game, then they swept through and beat Kremlin Hillsdale 12-0, Shattuck 13-8. Hydro Weekly's in. I also know Arnett is in the state tournament. They beat Fort Cobb Roxton 7-2. They beat Hammond 11-1. And so now here's where my hypothesis is going to go, because Hammond played Roth first. They clearly won the first game because they played Arnett. I'm working this all through my mind right now and figuring it out. So they beat Roth 6-5.
Yeah, and from what I was told, the bottom of the set.
It's a walk-off hit.
Yes.
Yes, I saw a video of it, actually, trying to figure this out. I just figured it out in my mind working through this.
Okay.
They beat Roth 6-5. They lost to Arnett 11-1. And then in the game to go to the state tournament, they lost to Roth 8-4.
Yes.
So Hammond's out.
Hammond's out.
I just but literally.
What an effort.
The light bulb went off in my head as I was seeing that, reading off the Arnett score.
I had to text our Hammond insider. But, yeah, that's what went down. But what an effort from Hammond. That was a heck of a win, that first one against Roth.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah.
For where they were a month and a half ago.
Yes.
To playing a game to go to the state tournament, that's pretty incredible.
Yes, it is.
There's no doubt about it. Other scores, let's see. Hinton is out. They lost to 4A number one Washington 6-4. Then Calera beat them 11-0. Hobart's out. Lost to Boone Apache 8-6 and Minko 13-1. I guess we could see if anybody cares if Boone Apache is in. Boone Apache is in the state tournament, beating Hobart and Tushka. Let's see. Is that about it? You know what's weird? I saw a Canute score. I never saw Canute on the brackets. And then yesterday it popped up a Canute score. They didn't play, did they?
No, they were eliminated.
They were eliminated. That's what I thought. It said 18-5 against Ringwood.
No.
But now it's not here. So I wonder if it was a date thing.
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, I was positive they weren't playing.
I think I heard that on your sports show.
I did, because I saw it.
I thought, well, he misspoke. So that's
no, I saw it on here. And then I got to thinking when I was going home, I was like, what? That's not right. They got beat last week.
Do I need to proofread your sports report?
You might have to start doing that.
I just thought you misspoke. No, they're out. No. Another direct text that I can't laugh at.
Oh, my gosh. Dylan, killing me. I didn't see that coming. I did not see that coming.
Can I? All right.
Oh, gosh. That is so funny. He said the only thing that I know about the wide world of sports, and it's a picture from Blazing Saddles.
Yeah.
What in the wide world of sports going on here? That slayed me. That doesn't happen very often. Kudos to Dylan for getting me to just break down on air.
That's good.
All right, so that's the softball. Those regionals are over, and we'll have state tournament brackets coming up sometime probably over the weekend for next week's state tournament in softball. Baseball-wise, Canute, strong yesterday. 12-0 in the first game against Laverne, 10-0 in the second game against Moreland. So Canute is in the catbird seat to make an appearance into the state tournament. Do we know
who?
No,
they have to wait for the winner of a 2:30 game. By the way, I know it says on the bracket 6:30 tonight. They've moved it up, is what I'm told.
Weather?
Not just to get it done, I believe. And okay. 4 o'clock is when that Canute game is slated to start, or after the 2:30 game. So could be.
No wonder I can't find the scores. I'm on softball.
You're on softball.
Hang on a minute. So they will play the winner of whom?
I should know this. I think it's
Moreland. Drummond.
Moreland and Drummond?
Yep. Because Drummond beat Laverne 11-1.
There you go.
Okay, so Canute will play the winner of that game. What time did you say? Around
the
4
Moreland
o'clock?
Moreland Drummond game at 2:30, followed by the Canute game, which is slated for around 4.
Right, show up at 4. You'll be early, but you show up at 4, you won't miss anything.
I think I can say it will be on Trojan TV.
Oh, good.
It will be. It's been approved.
There's
no play-by-play, but we'll have video and a scoreboard. And so if you can't make it, there's that.
We have some upsets brewing in Class A. I knew about one of them. You told me about another one. Number 2, Rattan, is going to have to come through the back door. They were beaten by Caddo 3-1 yesterday. So Rattan will have to win 3 games to be in the state tournament. Same is true for number 4, Sterling. Sterling had a 3-0 lead going into the 7th inning against Hollis last night. The Tigers scored 6 7th inning runs to double up Sterling 6-3. So Hollis is now in the catbird seat in that regional, with Sterling having to come through the back door. There. Mike Wilson's Red Oak Eagles dominated. And so they're looking pretty good as well. In Class B, Granite is in the driver's seat in that regional up at Leedy, as they held off Duke 11-10 and then just bombed the Bison 17-1. So Granite is in great shape there. Let's see. I don't see a Duke scored. They play Timberlake second. Let me see if I can find a Timberlake.
Oh, we had that.
I should have looked up. I didn't open my email this morning. I'm sure Double
D
has that for
us. Give me 2 seconds. Let me log in.
I was trying to get this thing on the air. I know Double D sent me. I know he sent us an email.
I know. Where are you at?
It's Darren Danielson.
I know who that is. Okay, game one. Leedy, you mentioned beating Timberlake 13-2. Duke got bought. Or did Granite beat Duke 11-10?
Yep.
Granite, man, all over Leedy 17-1. Duke beat Timberlake 12-2.
So it'll be Duke and Leedy for the right to play Granite.
Correct.
In that regional.
Had a feeling about Granite.
Granite's pretty good, I think.
Had a feeling about that.
That was a back and forth. Them and Duke was back and forth and back and forth. It was like 5-2 Granite, and then Duke hit a 3-run bomb to make it 5-5. Then it was 9-5 Granite, and then Duke came back all the way to 11-10. So that was kind of a slugfest there up at Leedy yesterday afternoon. Either Duke or Leedy is going to have to be able to figure out a way to beat Granite twice to get into the Class B state tournament. Sentinel won and lost. They beat Battius 7-5. They lost to LaFleur 9-6. So let's see who they will play today. They will play Caney, because Caney beat Battius 9-7, which is the number 5 team, by the way. In that, they're the host. So okay. Sentinel will play the host today there with Caney. That about it?
I think that's about it. I don't think Vaisai, the region they're in, doesn't start till today because there's no score and the date says today. It says they play at 2 o'clock against...
No, I got it. They
beat, got a score?
Yeah, yeah, right here.
What do you got?
They beat Velma Alma 10-9. Who would they have played? Where were they?
Oh, darn. I just exited out. I had the brackets up.
Hang on. I'll find it. Tushka. They were down at Tushka.
That's right.
So let's see. Let's pull up Tushka. Tushka. Tushka shut out Vaisai 11-0. So they will play Velma Alma again because Velma Alma beat Oklahoma Christian Academy. So it'll be Vaisai and Velma Alma again. No. I'm sorry. Other way around. Oklahoma Christian Academy beat Velma Alma 11-4. So they'll play Oklahoma Christian Academy for the chance to go and play Tushka. Tushka's on a pretty good run this year. That surprising state tournament win as an unranked team in boys basketball.
Well, that's right.
Here they are trying to get to the state tournament in baseball. Mountain View Goaty Bow, let's look about them.
Where are they at?
They lost at least one. They lost to Tupelo 4-0. Actually, they beat Big Pasture 7-3, then lost to Tupelo 4-0. So they will play the Big Pasture versus somebody winner, and that'll be Big Pasture as they beat Buffalo Valley 6-4. So they'll get Big Pasture again with a chance to move into that regional final. It's pretty good work on the fly, Jared. We did pretty well.
Did you mention
there.
Fort Cobb?
I did not. They won twice, didn't they?
Easily. Beat Verdon 14-0 and Asher 9-2.
The one happy thing that the Leedy fans will have, even though they were beaten by Granite, is the fact that Asher lost. That'll give them a little bit of solace that Asher lost.
Why?
Because there's a long history there of Asher beating Leedy in state tournaments.
That's right.
A long one. So much so that one of my cousins, who was on the team that actually beat Asher for the final, named his kid Asher.
Ah!
I'm not kidding. Truth is stranger than fiction.
That's funny. That's good stuff.
All right, so we'll have a lot of games today, maybe some tomorrow on the baseball field. And then by Monday, we ought to have brackets and everything ready to go.
Yeah.
With state tournaments.
State tournament, yeah.
Let's finish up the baseball from 4A by districts. As they're a week behind the smaller schools. So Clinton dispatched to Paul's Valley easily. Red Tornadoes 16-0 and 26-8. So Clinton's moving on into the regional tournament, as is Weatherford, as Weatherford pounded Plainview a couple of times. We get down here for the score, 9-1 and 18-2. Woodward season is over, as they fell to Cash 10-0 and 16-5. So Cash and Clinton will be in the same regional. I do remember that because Woodward was a team they might have been able to see if they made it. Let's see, elsewhere... As far as the regional tournament for Elk City next week, it's set. Lone Grove will be here as they knocked off Anadarko twice, 15-0 and 11-0. Mount St. Mary's, which I believe will be the Elks' opponent in round one, beat Seminole 11-1 and 10-0. And then the fourth team rounding out the regional will be the Bing Pirates. They dispatched Harding Charter Prep 17-0 and 12-0. So Elk City will play, I'm pretty sure I'm right. Elk City and Mount St. Mary's will be game one, being Lone Grove game two. If it goes by what we saw this week, it'll be 11 o'clock start for the Elks next Thursday.
Right, comparing the small school brackets. Mount St. Mary, just FYI, they're 15-13 after yesterday. So two games above 500, just looking at Bing. What do they look like? 20-6.
Yeah, they're going to be good.
Bing and baseball go well together. They always have.
Coach Streeter there.
Yep.
A name that everybody knows here.
Yep.
From his time at Hammond and Elk City.
Losses pretty comparable to Elk City. They lost to Blanchard. We've lost to Ada like 1-0.
Colgate.
Blanchard twice, by the way.
McGinnis. Hey, that could be one. I think the Elks are playing McGinnis today.
Oh,
their next... Monday.
A little warm-up? Where at?
I don't know. Oh. Good question.
Not in Chickasha, huh?
I don't think so.
Let's see. Bing has played Weatherford, beat them 13-5. Bing has some opponents, man. They've played some people. That's the team to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I think that's also a one of those things that when you look at the Elks, battle-tested because they played everybody.
Yeah. Listen, you don't get better by playing down.
That's right.
You get better by playing up.
A trip to Alabama, and then also you know, playing Tuttle, beating Tuttle the other day, playing Blanchard, playing El Reno. I mean, the Elks have played some people.
That's not talking about the district.
That's right. Yeah, not talking about Weatherford and Clinton.
Right. Yeah, that's going to be a fun regional next week.
Okay.
Very fun.
Yeah, we know. We'll know the game times of that. Well, I mean, I think we'll know a lot on Monday. Speaking of on Monday, soccer playoffs.
Those brackets are out.
Do we have times? Right. I know times.
I think they leave that. They don't put it on the bracket because they leave it up to the schools.
I know the times.
Well, shoot it at us.
We'll have Big Elk soccer at Chickasha at 6.
On Big Elk TV.
Also on Big Elk TV, probably on a different tab. Probably have to get a different stream key here.
Well.
Because it's a 7 o'clock kick.
Oh, it went to 7.
7 o'clock kick with Elk City and Bethany. I found out yesterday.
I'm probably wrong, but I could either a different tab or B, just throwing it right on front page of Paragon TV.
That'll be a programming note for Monday.
Yeah. We'll let everybody know what happens there.
Okay, let's talk about the NFL draft. What happened? Well,
these teams got together and they picked players.
Yeah, out in Vegas. It was pretty cool.
Vegas, I thought it was a cool scene.
Could have used more water, for my taste. More boats and water to get players across there. But anyhow.
What feed did you watch? Did you watch ABC?
It was on
ESPN?
ESPN, I believe. We couldn't hear it because everybody was talking.
I watched NFL Network.
Because
their set was right there by on pretty much on the water with the fountain happening behind them.
I would have preferred – I used to prefer NFL Network because of Mike Mayock. I thought he was awesome. Was he back since he got fired from being the GM of the Raiders?
I did not take note of who was on where. No, I didn't.
He was great. You know who else I liked, though, on ESPN? We couldn't hear what he's saying, but I like Louis Riddick. He had the pink shirt on. He's been up – he's actually interviewed for a couple of GM jobs over the last couple of years. Bald guy, kind of a cool little beard.
Okay.
Louis Riddick. He was on Monday Night Football. He was one of the analysts on Monday Night Football.
Oh, okay.
I think he does better at the draft than he does on Monday Night Football, just for my taste.
Man, my black heart didn't like all the between the picks. Every time somebody was picked.
I'm against Monday, by the way.
They play their, some backstory of – you know, it was like every other pick, what's his name used to do on game day?
Tom Rinaldi?
Yeah, you know, it was like, he grew up in this neighborhood, and he, and I'm like, come on. It's a great story. They made it. I get it. They made it. But break it down for me. How does it help a team? That's why I turned it. That's a poor take, I know, but I just wasn't in the mood. I was like, I want to see, I don't know.
Well, they got to fill sometime, somehow.
I know. I get that.
For my taste, I thought the Giants did awesome getting Kayvon Thibodeau and Evan Neal. As a Cowboys fan, I hated their draft because I thought it was very good. I thought the Jets were awesome.
Jets are getting a lot of praise this morning.
I thought they were great because they had four needs. And they filled them with top 11 ranked players. That Jermaine Johnson, I can't tell you how bad I wanted the Dallas Cowboys to select Jermaine Johnson. They could fill it. Randy Gregory left, the defensive end. But because it would prove to me that they're drafting the best available player. And instead, they drafted Tyler Smith out of Tulsa, which, listen, he may end up being good. But the problem is, he was called for 12 penalties in 12 games a season ago after being flagged 7 times for 14 games in 2 years. 12 were the third most among FBS offensive linemen, courtesy of Ed Werder on Twitter. So it turns out the Cowboys got their guy because he'll fit right in.
Yes. Yep.
Gone is Connor Williams. Penalties in are Tyler Smith's. Yay. Anyhow, you never know. A lot of times when fans get upset about picks like this, because of its offensive linemen and it's not sexy or anything like that, a lot of times it turns out to be a really good pick.
Yeah, it's
Zach Martin,
it's not,
Travis Frederick as examples for the Cowboys.
You know, Penning was off the board. That's the guy I kind of had circled after he was brought to my attention. So if
I was hoping it was going to be Linderbaum or Jermaine Johnson.
Okay. But some would say, and I think we've had this, that was truly the best available on the Cowboys board.
It was.
He was the best available, and it's a safe pick. I guess, at the end of the day, it's not flashy, it's not sexy, but it's a safe pick. So I was going,
Well, you can disagree with their board or not, which I think some people do, but according to Drew, which he knows more about this than anybody I know because he follows it every day of the year, the Cowboys had Tyler Smith as their 16th player on their board, highest ranked player on their board that was left. So voila, there you have it. Man, I was kind of making some jokes before the draft started about how funny it would be to see when the Carolina pick came up, and it would be breaking news. The Packers have traded Jordan Love and a couple of picks to Carolina for number 6, and then the whole world would think, hey, here we go. It's going to be a receiver. And then draft like Kenny Pickett. They might as well have. 20 straight years, the Packers haven't drafted a receiver or a running back in the first round. I think Aaron Rodgers is feeling right about now when they let, you know, they get rid of Devontae Adams and don't do anything to replace him.
Yeah, and I guess is he stuck there, Rodgers?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, he's probably not feeling very good. So, yeah, I scratched my head at what the Packers did last night.
Were you surprised only one quarterback was taken?
A little bit.
Were you surprised which one it was?
A little bit. It felt to me, the immediate reaction to me was this out of this, like, not necessity, but like, man, we're going to look like dummies if we don't take this kid who's been right next door to us all day, you know, for.
And he turns out to be good. If we pass on him and he turns out
to
be good,
we'll
look like
exactly,
idiots.
Exactly.
So
I think Pittsburgh, in a weird way, was in a no-win situation, whatever they did with that pick. If they picked him, which they did, and he is not good, I mean, that's a no-win. And then he's like, wow, you took him just because he went to Pitt. But if you don't pick him, they could slam the Steelers. And then he turns out good. God, he was good, and he was right there. You guys can't evaluate anymore.
They have a track record of that part. In 1983, could have taken the quarterback from Pitt.
Yeah, that's true.
They didn't, and it turned out his name was Dan Marino.
Not like he won any championships or anything.
Well, he didn't, but...
Did Pittsburgh win a few between then? And
not while he was in the league, no. Nobody won. It was after. He had already retired by the time Pittsburgh won again.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah. But, I mean, they might have if he'd have been there. Instead of Neil O'Donnell throwing to Larry Brown, it would have been Dan Marino. That'd have scared the hell out of me if I was a Cowboys fan in that Super Bowl. It's the ownership is the same. I mean, the front office people aren't the same there, so you know, you never know if that comes even. I'm sure it didn't even come into their mind, but that's still lingering out there. It's weird because everything you started here, Tomlin wanted a quarterback, but he wanted a mobile one,
right?
I mean, Pickett fake slid and ran, but how mobile is he? Willis.
Aaron. He changed college football forever with that.
The immediate reaction from two of the Steeler fans I know, not happy. We just drafted another Mason Rudolph. That's what I got from the Steeler fans.
There's a lot of comps with him in Mason Rudolph. There was.
That was interesting. First time there was only one quarterback taken in the first round since 2013. If you're a Steeler fan, you hope this guy turns out to be better than that guy because that year it was, do you know? Buffalo drafted E.J. Manuel from Florida State.
Yeah, remember
the only first rounder. You know the last time there wasn't a first round quarterback at all?
I can only imagine.
1996.
I was going to say back in the 90s. But
1996. Was the last time there wasn't a quarterback taken at all. I'm sure Malik Willis will be one of the first guys picked here coming up this evening. Georgia set a record with 5 first-round defenders. Now, Green Bay also did set a record. It's the first time they've ever taken two players on the same side of the ball from the same college in the first round.
That is interesting.
The defenders there from Georgia.
I know this is a different question we could have when we get closer to college football, but I wonder if that concerns Georgia fans. Were they gutted by that, or is it just plug and replace?
I think
they like what Alabama's been doing.
They've been recruiting like Alabama ever since Kirby Smart got there, and he's been there a while.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they will tell you the latter, plug and replace.
Right. Well, every fan base will.
Right.
Anyway.
The under hit on the wide receiver question that we had yesterday, under 7.5. That hit. I think there's only 6. Yeah.
After 3 were taken in a row, I thought it's going to go over, you know. But it didn't.
Yeah, think about this on that Georgia defense. They had 5 guys taken in the first round, and their best collegiate defender is still on the board with N'Kobe Dean.
Yeah, that's right.
Isn't that incredible?
Back to wide receiver, I'm surprised London was the first one taken.
Back to
my argument yesterday.
It cost me a beer.
Did it really?
Yep.
Because of where he – or what league or conference he played in. I think that's a thing. But we'll see.
Well, the truth of it is it came down to what team is going to draft him. As soon as Garrett Wilson got by the Jets at 4 – kind of the next team, if the Giants didn't take one, which they needed a bigger guy, which probably would have been London instead of Wilson. You know, then you got down to the Falcons, and that's what they need. They need a big guy on the outside. And, you know, Drake London's a basketball player, scholarship basketball player. Mm-hmm. You know, so he's got – yeah, I mean, you can understand, like you could see down in the red zone just flipping it up to him and watching him box somebody out and jumping up and catching it.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
But – I mean, when you look at the highlights of Garrett Wilson, and quite frankly, those other 3, I'm going to call them Ohio State, even though Williams finished at Bama, but all 3 of those guys were at Ohio State together with Wilson, Olave, and Jameson Williams. I stand by what I said about Jameson Williams. I think he's the best one and will be the best one. Without the injury to his knee, I think he was going to be far and away the first receiver taken. I think the knee injury scared everybody off just a little bit, but not too much, as he was still taken in the first, 12 picks of this draft. Which players are you surprised to still see on the board?
Well, I wasn't sold that Breece Hall would be taken in the first round until yesterday when you were talking about...
God, yeah, and as soon as Buffalo traded out, that was over.
Right, so a little... I thought that was still in play there as the night went along. That he could wind up somewhere. But so maybe that is my answer. And looking at a lot of, best available, he is, they're saying, the best, one of the best available, maybe him or Dean. I think I was thinking, man, I think he could creep up there, taken later in this round tonight, but he was not. How about you?
Malik Willis for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I don't think I remember seeing a mock draft with just one quarterback in the first round. And if it was him and not Pickett. That was surprising. N'Kobe Dean, surprising. Hall, not so much. I just took a flyer because of what Buffalo is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that did, obviously, as soon as you saw they were trading up, it was like, nope, that's not happening. Because there's no way they would do that. And I think there's some really good players that are right there to be picked pretty early today. I thought one of the best picks individually that seems to fit what they needed and what they do, and for a local guy, at least to the state, I thought Dax Hill went to a great spot at Cincinnati, which is not something you're used to saying, quite frankly. But I think that is a perfect spot for him. On a good team, you know, went to the Super Bowl last year. I think that's a good one. Now, let's talk about the trades. The trades of those wide receivers.
Yeah.
I mean, how crazy. A.J. Brown, his name was out there as a possibility, along with Deebo Samuel and DK Metcalf. I never heard Hollywood Brown like any.
No.
You know, there was the one tweet a couple of weeks ago where it was kind of more of a possibility floated, and Lamar Jackson quickly retweeted or tweeted at that column like, hell no. That ain't happening.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it was like, boom, Hollywood got traded.
Yeah.
Really interesting. Really interesting to me how that's going to work.
How
Hollywood to the Cardinals works.
How's that going to work? Well, I mean, my shoot from the hip reaction was, well, this is an effort to keep Kyler happy. And
well, obviously.
Did Kyler go to the front office and say, this is who I want to play with. Go get him. Make it happen. Do you think it was that direct?
No.
Or were they just like, okay, you know what? Let's go get this guy. Let's run it by Kyler, see if he wants to play with Hollywood. And Kyler was, you know, I think he tweeted out something. He was, you know, first positive tweet about his future with Arizona that we've seen since the end of the season. So,
well, I think when those three guys went off the board, bang, 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 or the four, you know, I think it was Arizona now looking around going, okay, if we're going to have a receiver, we better trade for one because the guys we really wanted are gone.
Right.
You know, you have to think that a guy like Olave was somebody they were targeting. No, I never saw a single mock draft that had him 11. He was more in the late teens in that range, which Arizona might have been able to swing. And then all of a sudden, when he's gone, then Williams is gone. You know, I think they clearly, to me, had four guys on the receiver position on their board way higher than everybody else. And as soon as those guys were gone, they went, okay, let's go find somebody. And, you know, it would seem to me Hollywood fits what they do better than A.J. Brown. Now, yeah. What in the world are the Ravens doing?
I don't know. Are they investing in the future? I don't know. Because I don't think this makes Jackson happy. I think it diminishes their offense, doesn't it?
His tweet was WTF.
Yeah, no, he's not happy. So clearly not a good move by the Ravens. Sometimes you feel like when a player is traded, it diminishes their like, okay, we drafted you. We've had – how long has he been at – did he finish his third season?
There? Yeah.
And after three seasons, like, oh, we're going to trade you. It's just not working out.
Well, or
you know what I mean?
You're pretty good, but we don't want to pay you the money you think you deserve.
Right.
You know, that's clearly what happened in Tennessee.
With A.J. Brown.
With A.J.
Yes.
Brown.
Yes.
And so, and you know what they did? They replaced A.J. Brown with A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
Except for at a rookie deal with Treylon Burks.
Yeah.
I mean, that when you saw that and it was where they were picking, it was like, oh, well, this is obviously going to be Treylon Burks. They're just replacing him with a cheaper option.
Right.
So instead of paying a guy $100 million for 4 years, they're going to pay him like 20 for four.
Brown got that deal, yeah.
Yeah, and he got the deal.
He got that
obviously
deal
with the Eagles. It's just really interesting. So back to the Ravens. I think they hit it out of the park with the guys they drafted. Kyle Hamilton, best safety. Linderbaum, best center. The Ravens are great at drafting. They just are. That's why they're good all the time.
Right.
Now, the question is, though, this is really, really interesting to me. Does this trade, I mean, they still got Mark Andrews. They drafted Bateman out of Minnesota last year, but they clearly have a huge need at wide receiver. But they haven't given Lamar a big deal yet. He's in the Baker Mayfield deal right now. When you think about it, lot less public right now, but as Drew just said, he's only making $1.3 million. He hasn't got the big deal yet. Is this a signal by the Ravens that, hey, for the right price, you can have and pay Lamar Jackson?
I was going to be more simple of that was one of my questions was, is this a sign of what's to come for Lamar? Is his future with Baltimore in jeopardy? Was that the message? Yeah.
That's
so it's kind of the same question.
Is it?
I had that, and I thought, is that too outrageous to say? You know, this guy, MVP, I mean, when he's good, he's really good. Is that crazy to say? But now that you've said it, I mean, it makes you think.
I think it is.
Yeah.
I totally think it is. Like, hey, I mean, if you're not going to pay him, and they haven't paid him, they don't have they have nothing in him. Now, you can see the upside with him, but you can also see the downside. His numbers in the playoff games hasn't won one yet, and they're not very good. You know, the one he threw for a bunch of yards, but it was after he'd kind of made some mistakes to get him in a hole. You know, and then against Tennessee, it was just a ragged, terrible performance. So, is this Ozzie going, hello, hello, anybody out there? Anybody, anybody, anybody? You know, maybe Seattle. We could use DK Metcalf and two or three first rounders if you want Lamar. I don't know. Be interesting to see what the how this proceeds with Lamar. You know, the Tennessee one, you could see the replacement right there in front of you with the drafting. Okay, who is the first player off the board today? Is there a player, first off, is there a player off the board today from either Oklahoma or Oklahoma State?
Can I answer with maybe?
I mean, you can. That is what we like to call fence riding. there's definitely going to be a player taken today, rounds two and three.
I think so.
Definitely.
Yes.
Like I said yesterday, I think there will be three in total. And maybe a
fourth.
By
the end of today?
And maybe a fourth after what I heard walking out last night. Lewis Riddick, the one time I did hear him, or it may have been Kuiper, talking about the linebackers left. He mentioned a name that kind of had perked my ears up, and it was Brian Asamoah because of his speed. And I saw something from one of my buddies sent me about that Teddy Lehman said, when you're watching Benito, tape of Benito, you know who you see? Asamoah flying around him to make plays.
True.
Which is interesting. I don't think there's any doubt Benito, Winfrey are going. I think Rodriguez from Oklahoma State is going to go in the third round as well, and maybe Asamoah as a fourth. But I think it'll be Benito first at some point in the second round.
At some point in the second round. Okay.
At some point in the second round, I think we will have Nick Benito off the board.
I keep going back to Winfrey. Don't know why. He keeps hanging out in my mind that he'll be taken first as an OU player.
I think it just has to be at a certain spot.
Spots and needs, mm-hmm. and who's up and all that. You know, if he's the best available defensive lineman, defensive tackle for somebody, yeah, I can see him going. You know, no knock on Benito or anyone else. I just keep going back to him.
I think Benito's flexibility allows him to have way more options of teams to draft him. But you never know. If somebody loves it, Winfrey, they could take him.
Yeah.
But he's more of a fit.
Yeah.
Whereas
fit
Benito kind of fits everybody.
Right.
Breaking news, Jared. Breaking news.
What do we got?
I have in front of my eyes the 2022 Class A slow pitch state bracket.
Already got it.
It's out. As we speak, the Arnett Lady Wildcats will play LaFleur Tuesday, May 3rd at 10 a.m. That tournament will be completed Tuesday, May 3rd, the whole thing. Arnett will play LaFleur on Field 4 at USA Hall of Fame Stadium Complex.
Cool.
Lakeba Sickles will play Whitesboro, all these games at 10 a.m. On Field 1. They are on opposite sides of the bracket, so that could be a state championship game.
Very cool.
I think that's everybody that could hear us. That made it to the slow pitch state tournament. I'm checking one more class. 2A's not done yet, but I don't think there's anybody there.
Is this via the website?
Is this via the OSSAA.com?
Info. Okay, cool.
OSSAA.com. Oh, the 2A is there, but Navajo and Hydro Weekly, that's the one that's not completed yet. They must have had some rain issues, or were they 3A? I think they were 2A. They were 2A. Moving on. But there you go. 10 o'clock Tuesday for Arnett playing LaFleur, and Lakeba Sickles will play Whitesboro in slow pitch state tournament action at the Hall of Fame Stadium complex. How about Tiger?
On the prowl in Tulsa.
Are we convinced he's going to play?
Well, I wasn't as confident before yesterday as I am now. Now I feel like he's taken the same pattern of how he approached the Masters, seeing if he could walk it and do it. And so I'm a little bit more confident that he's going to give it a go. A lot of effort to come all the way to Tulsa to play Southern Hills to say, I don't want to play here.
Yeah,
but he can do whatever he wants. He can play wherever he wants.
He can.
You know?
But he's kind of following the Masters playbook.
Exactly.
And even a little earlier, quite honestly. We're still a month out.
I was thinking it was a little earlier than, wasn't he like 2 weeks away?
Or the week before when he went to Augusta. Now, obviously, I think the Augusta trip was to see if he could physically do it. I mean, he doesn't need to go scout that golf course. He knows it like the back of his hand. This one he's played a couple of times, but they have done some changes. So I think this was more vintage Tiger getting ready for majors versus, hey, can I even play? You know, a month out, you're coming in to see the changes now, and then go back and probably think about, okay, what's the game plan with what I'm physically able to do now versus back in 2007 or even 2001 with the U.S. Open there, and to see what's different about the golf course. And so, yeah, I'm kind of surprised because I really, coming off Augusta and the way he looked on Saturday and Sunday, physically almost unable to compete with back-to-back 78s, I thought he was going to wait until St. Andrews in July.
Yeah.
But another thing that we have learned since Augusta that we didn't know at the time was something Jack Nicklaus said, talking to Tiger at the Champions Dinner Tuesday night, the week of the Masters. And he asked Tiger, you know, man, how did you decide to play? Or, you know, when Tiger said, I talked to the doctors, and they said, it's always going to hurt. You know, I don't know how big of a risk there is to re-injure anything, but it's going to hurt. And then he told Jack, well, if all it's going to do is hurt, then why would I wait a year? Because guess what? It's hurting a year from now.
Yeah, it's going to hurt.
And so then it's just a matter of, okay, how tough am I? Can I put the pain, you know, and go get it done? And that's what he decided to do. And so once I heard that, then you start to think, okay, he realizes, one, it's not getting better. And then another factor has got to be creeping into his mind. He's 46. How many more of these can he play?
Right.
Because doesn't it feel like ultimately his body has an expiration date?
Well, everybody's dying.
For the game. No, but I mean, but
for the game. I don't know.
For the game of golf.
I didn't mean that sound boring.
Yeah, Jared, we're all going to die. Thanks. That's an uplifting way to send us to the weekend.
What I meant was little things. Like, I know I probably shouldn't water ski anymore because last time I did, I about died. I know what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Yes, an expiration date as far as playing at a high level. You know, he can play until he can't walk anymore, but it's a matter of playing at a high level. At a major championship level. Absolutely. So why wait? Why wait?
Yeah, and that was his point.
And he's going to lose opportunities. So that's why I'm a little bit more confident seeing him in Tulsa, giving it around and seeing what it looks like and what's changed and can he walk it and all that stuff. And he's probably, he's a competitor thinking, I cannot sit at home and watch these guys play this thing when I know, well, I gave it a go at the Masters. I made the cut, for crying out loud. Let's see if I can go play this place. I'm confident, after saying it out loud, I'm a little bit more confident that he'll play than he won't at Tulsa.
Oh, 100%. I mean, unless something happens between now and then, it feels like to me he can book it. He's coming.
Yeah.
He, like you said, he wouldn't – I mean, I know he's got all the money in the world, but there's still the logistics of flying your plane and the money it costs.
Right.
I mean, I know we act like that's not a thing, but it is a little bit of, I mean, at least something. But to take the time.
Did he jump in his plane and
I mean, he wasn't checking
it's
his
like,
bank
you know,
account.
I feel like some deep dish pizza from Chicago.
They can
pilot,
do,
please take me over here.
Yeah, he can do that if he wants to. But he's still. But the time is more valuable than the money, almost to him.
Yeah.
And to spend that time, and he knew everything was going to get out. You know, and then we had choppers flying overhead watching him play golf.
Could you imagine being like? A greenskeeper or just a guy.
I guess he shut the golf course down.
Yeah.
Completely. And then the director of golf, Gary Cosby, carried his bag.
Yeah, like you're going to work. You work at Southern Hills.
Yeah, when do they get the call?
Your job is to mow. You know, okay, I got to mow the greens today, or I got to move these holes over, or whatever. And then someone comes up to you and goes, oh, by the way, Tiger is here. Just heads up. How crazy is that?
Well, you're probably looking around going, where's Bob and Jim and Tim? They always tee off at 9. Where are they at?
Yeah, that's now, I didn't realize they shut down everything.
Well, we may be to the point this close, you know, 4 weeks out.
It's shut down
where
anyways.
They're shutting the golf course down anyway to the membership. We may be getting there. I'm not exactly sure what the timeline of that is, but if it's not, you're thinking, what's going on here, man? Those guys are easily on number 3 by now.
Right.
And then you see some dude walking with a thing on his leg. What's Carrie doing? He's carrying that bag. Why isn't he in the shop? Oh, my God, it's Tiger Woods.
Is he, do you think, as a caddy, he's there saying, hey, okay, now right here is where we change this. You're going to want to shoot for over
1 million
just giving
percent.
Him the lay of
that's
the
why
land.
He's there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Heck yeah, that's why he was doing it.
You think he knew that when he woke up? That's what he'd be doing?
Yeah, that's what I want to know. I
want to know how spur of the moment was this.
That's right, because it felt completely spur of the moment to everybody else.
It has to be for Tiger. If he would call 2 or 3 days ahead, say, I'm coming, then that word gets out, it's going to be a circus. He has to be spur of the moment.
Yeah, I'm guessing they knew the day before at least.
Well, yeah, you can't just call the day of and say, shut it down, I'm coming.
Yeah, well, he probably can. But to make the arrangements and all that, I'm guessing at least it was the day before yesterday. But still, it would have been pretty cool. I can't tell you how shocked I am that we got as much like cell phone footage of people there as we did.
I think that goes into more of – think about when Tiger was walking the mat, playing the Masters, how more receptive he was of the gallery, tipping his cap, waving, people rooting him on. You know, he wasn't like that before the crash. I think that is a little bit more of it, too. He's more accepting of it. It's like, oh, yeah, you can take a picture. I don't care. You know, that comes with the territory.
Yeah, there's there's a time in life where Steve Williams would have ran back there, grabbed the phone, and smashed it on, the sidewalk.
You know, and he's just, yeah, whatever. It's no secret. I'm here. Go ahead.
It's a totally different Tiger
Woods. I haven't seen video. You've seen video?
Yes.
You've seen video? I haven't seen video.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I've seen a lot of pictures.
I've seen like cell phone video of him teeing off on a couple of different holes.
Like from the bushes?
Yeah, just behind.
Some leaves in front of the camera?
Kind of behind.
Real blurry.
Behind the tee box. Now, I don't know what's back there. It looked like number one or maybe even number four or six. Number four. The par five. On two different, and then one time it looked like he was teeing off from the middle of the fairway, like teeing it up from the middle of the fairway. But it must have just been the way that tee box kind of gently rolled around. But
hey, real quick before we get off the golf topic, we didn't even touch about OU winning the Big 12.
Man,
cool.
What that was pretty awesome down the stretch.
To come back to do it, that was pretty cool.
OU, OSU, and Texas, exactly the way it was last year at Prairie Dunes, right down the stretch. And this time the Sooners held off one of the major kind of exchanges down on the 18th hole. Patrick Welch made like a 35 footer for par that allowed him to stay in the lead. Then the very next group, OU got a birdie, Texas made a bogey, and then Texas ended up falling all the way down to third, and OSU ended up second. But man, it's
it's cool, both state schools.
Oh,
one and two.
Dude, doesn't it feel like last year? It
feels like they're on a collision course for the national title.
It was almost just like last year where the golf. And then we're going to see the softball, next weekend?
Yeah.
In Norman?
Yeah, that is next. Yeah.
That's going to start building up toward, you know.
Like round one.
We thought we might get two Bedlam series or match play for the title last year and didn't get either.
Well, what if we get, Goff bedlam for the title, for the national title. We get, obviously, the OU-OSU bedlam softball's coming up, regular season series. And who knows? Those two are probably one and, are they based on standings without looking? I'm sure they're 1-2 in the Big 12.
I think so.
See them in a championship game for the Big 12 title, yeah, then the World Series, man, all Oklahoma. It's awesome.
Yeah, it could be a fun June.
And Oklahoma been selected. I'm just reading a tweet. I'm sure you've seen that they're replacing Alabama as a men's regional host this year because of unsuitable course conditions at Old Colony in Tuscaloosa.
Oh, so it's going to be a Jimmy
Austin. Unsuitable course conditions.
Probably
like a lot of rain or.
I bet you they're doing some construction.
Okay.
Would be my guess.
So it will be at Jimmy Austin.
Nice. Let's come
on
in
that
a couple
note,
weeks.
Huh? Yeah, it is. 16th through 18th. May, obviously.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Everybody have a great weekend. I'll have a full report of Bowling Springs on Monday. We'll have all the brackets for baseball. We have the softball.
Next week's going to be crazy.
Get ready for soccer. All kinds of things. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.